If I could have quiet in the chamber, please. We're going to continue now. We are continuing with Mr. Steve McMahon, who is the seventh applicant for the position that we're interviewing today. Steve, as you probably heard, will ask you to give a statement at the top, including whatever you choose to include, and then we will ask questions, and the whole process should take 20 to 25 minutes. So with that, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Yesterday at 6 p.m., I was sitting on a cobblestone path in Raton, New Mexico, with an Amtrak train running an hour late to pick us up. That US is an outstanding group of University City youth, including boys and girls from Boy Scout Troop 493 and Venture Troop 2493. I had the honor of accompanying those young men and one woman on an 85-mile trek at Philmont Scout Ranch. Over about a 12-day period. Each person carried 50-pound-plus pack on their backs, hiking almost to 12,000 feet. After a long, sleepless night on that train that picked us up and they dropped us off in Kansas City, we learned today that I wouldn't be getting on a train until 4 p.m. Luckily, a nice University City family helped me get a car so I could drive myself and a couple scouts here to be here tonight. I tell that story for a couple of reasons. One, to explain my beard. Two, if I'm a little foggy, that's why. And thirdly, because I believe the process is important. And despite the hardship I faced, I wanted to be here so I could present myself to all of you, and I thank you for that opportunity. Some background, especially since we're streaming now and they can't see my application. I've lived in University City for over 23 years. One son graduated from University City High School, a daughter and another son on the way. I served on the Mayor's Aquatics Task Force for year-round aquatics. I'm on the pension board, one complete term, another one now. I just became the chairperson of the pension board, worked with University City High School PTO as treasurer, many hours of service at that organization as well as scouting organizations. I'm an attorney practicing since 1990 in varied areas, including I worked in the desegregation program, insurance defense, employment law, workers' compensation, medical malpractice. And I wish to continue my service in University City as a council member because I want to help the city. It's not about me, it's about what we can do for the residents in the city. When we enter public service, we help carry the burden for those who struggle, to protect those who cannot defend themselves, and to give voice to those who are not heard. And I believe everybody on the council takes those tasks seriously, although they may view them from different points of view. I welcome differences, as differing views discussed openly and fairly with complete exchange of information leads to the best decisions we can make for the city. Heated debate may be uncomfortable, but in the end, that debate leads to enlightenment, compromise, and a cohesive direction for the city. The discomfort is well worth the result. I believe the city needs to set its priorities and to find a way to fund those and accomplish those priorities. Mr. Glickert's question, I believe that you've asked to many folks tonight, is what are your priorities? That's the first question to be asked. Let's set priorities. Let's not have a scattered approach. When we try to do everything at once, we're not doing much. And so that's why we need to set those priorities. Things that I was looking at the priorities are quality emergency services, including police and fire. As many of the people said that I believe have been before you, the police station, the repair, a new facility needs to be examined, needs to be done right, needs to find a way to fund it. We also need to make sure that our EMS, that we've made a promise to our city's residents that they're getting the service they deserve under a new method that we're going to provide it, needs to be accounted for. We need to do an independent review of what they're doing to make sure we're getting it done right and we're giving the city what we promised them. Not to say it's wrong, not to say we shouldn't be doing it that way, but we need to look at it to make sure it's being done right. I also think that we need to have the streets repaired. We need to look into that. For years, they may not have been funded appropriately. That's been changed in the last few years as the way the tax is now being applied, but we need to step that up as best we can and find a way to prioritize that. And I think we need to make sure that we promise to our city employees, both fire and non-uniformed, are getting those benefits at their time their retirement, of their retirement, so we don't give up on that promise. That's something we've promised to them and said we'd be there for them. We need to make sure we're maintaining those funds and putting the right amounts in. When we get the best information we can from the folks we've hired and we think they're doing a good job down at the pension board, the actuaries, and they say this is the contribution you need to make, we need to make it. We need to make it even if we're overfunded, which we didn't do when we were overfunded. We need to keep it going. Now that we're underfunded, as opposed to just our percentage isn't quite right, we need to make sure we continue to do that now as we had in the past. Those are the areas that I think are really the top three priorities that I'm looking at. And the way I view them, they're the basics. I think we've really got to get the foundation shored up. And it also goes to making sure we know where the money's going, coming from, and how it's being allocated. So we can keep doing that. And from there, we can start building on other ancillary programs. But when we get the basics of what the city needs to operate, those are some of those that I'm looking for. I'm open to any questions. I was going to be brief tonight.
Members of Council, Ms. Carr.
Thank you. Thank you for applying and for rushing back from New Mexico. And you look swell. So my first question that I ask of everyone is, how do you view your role in representative government? And I have been describing what happened during the bond issue and also what happened during the outsourcing, where many citizens felt disenfranchised. They felt that they weren't informed, consulted, and they had, even though they came up to speak, they were ignored. So I want to see what your view is towards your constituents or your potential.
Thank you. My view towards my potential constituents is to get that information to them about those type of major changes that are going on as early as possible, so that they have the opportunity to come back to me and say, yes, no, can we change this, can we do that? I believe we have a lot of folks in New City that are bright folks that probably know more than I do. I'm not going to be the first to say, I have the answers and do it my way. That's not how I view this. It's collaborative with the citizens. It's collaborative with the folks on council. That's how it is. Maybe we won't always agree when we start out, but hopefully we agree when we end. So that's how I view it, as a voice for the people. They're going to express their concerns. I may not agree with what they say, but at least I can bring them here and discuss them. Even if it's something I disagree with, I still have that duty to them to say, hey, I've talked to some people in the first ward, they don't really like it. I've talked to some other ones, they do like it. My feeling is this, and then go from there, to throw it all in the pot and see what we can really make out of it. That's my view.
Thank you. So one of the candidates mentioned the city getting an ombudsman. And rather than ask your opinion of it, I would say that I am the ombudsman for my ward. So how would you view, many of the calls are simply about that pothole in front of their street or the water running into their yard or into their home. Do you think that handling it this way is adequate, or that we might need something more from City Hall in terms of handling problems?
Well, not being on council, and I can't say my experience with getting those phone calls that you and all of you get, I really couldn't say that. But I think I would agree that that is part of the job as a council person, that you should be their first line of calling, talking to them, and directing them to the services within the city that can help them. And if they don't get it there, you know, then it's going to escalate. So maybe, is it something ever gets to the level where the city, as a city council, needs to make a change in a process or get deliver that to the city manager so he can talk to staff to make changes themselves? But I think the first line of defense for those people out there are the ones that voted you in, and even the ones that didn't vote for you. But they're going to call you, and you should be able to address their needs as best you can right away.
And you have often spoken about sunshine law, so I would like you to express your take on how you feel that fits in to the relationship between the governing body and the those governed.
Well, I mean, the sunshine law is, I look at it as it's the backup plan in a way, especially when you're requesting information. It's the backup plan when you don't feel you're getting the information you needed. And I'm not sure if the storm that was earlier is now saying that the light should shine on me, but that's just a whole other thing. But I think that's the...
It's oh, fine. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Glecker.
We got the right one.
I am good now. I think it's a second line of defense. If a citizen doesn't feel like they're getting the information they need when you're making that request, you should be able to get it and get it in a timely fashion. So it could maybe put some of your questions at ease. Recently, I requested a document regarding a settlement of a lawsuit that the city went through. And there was chatter about what this settlement was, what it wasn't, blah, blah, blah. And then I was able to share it with people, and they were able to say, oh, it's not all what I thought it was. And, you know, people think that we were able to get that through the Sunshine request and get that document, and the city, you know, provided it to us. It was great. That's one way the Sunshine Law really helps as a way to build trust if it's followed, because you can verify things on your own. And then with meetings and agendas, it's always best to not have anything, have as much information on those agendas so that citizens know if they want to be there, if they want to talk about it, if it's something that they feel strongly about, so that we don't leave those people out of the process. So those are the two highlights of the Sunshine Law that I see them.
And my last question is, what do you see as your most important priority, or the would be your most important priority if you were appointed to this position?
I think it goes back to where I began, is helping and making sure that we've, as a city council, has set priorities for the city, and to not just kind of scatter it around, to really dig in and say what are the important things right off the bat, because we need to find ways to make sure those are funded, because you can't just keep saying it's all these different things. Everybody's got an interest, everybody wants something done, and we can't do it all the time. There are going to be struggles, and so we need to make sure those are there. And I think I listed the ones that I was looking at first and foremost before, but I think that's the overarching theme that I see, is if we don't have those really set in a cohesive manner, we're not really, it's not whether we're going forward in the right direction or the wrong direction, we're not moving. We're just treading water.
Thank you.
Other members of council? Well, okay. Mr. Jennings, did you have? Okay. Mr. McMahon, could you tell me what you would see as the greatest challenge in you personally coming onto this council? What would you see as your greatest challenge?
My greatest challenge coming onto council, being a member, that probably would be just getting acclimated to the whole new system, being a call it a freshman or a new person on it, and digging in and finding out those details, having those new conversations, and extending the trust to people that I need, because I'm going to be asking for it at some point too. I think that's the first thing, is being able to let people know that I'm trusting them when I'm here. I really will come in with an open view, and to say, hey, I'm taking a chance. I'm walking up to the edge of the cliff, and I'm hoping you're there at the other side, because I might slip. I'm going to trust you to be there. And I think that might be the biggest thing, is not expecting trust this way, but it's making sure you know you've got it coming that way.
Mr. Crow? No? I will ask a question that someone else asked of one of the earlier candidates. How would you see yourself as different from the current council member and council members of the past? I mean, you've been in town. Have you been in Ward 1, not all 23 years, right?
No, I was right on the line. I was in Ward 2 for, I'm trying to remember, about 6 or 7 years, and then moved just over that line at Gay into second to first ward for the rest of that time period.
How would you see, from what Councilmember Crow and what previous council members in your ward, Ward 1, have done, what would you like to emulate, or what might you do differently?
Well, I think the things that even with Dr. Kraft leaving, I think there are qualities of his that I agreed with. I thought he was analytical. I thought he was passionate about the way he saw the world, and so those were good qualities. I think I thought he fiscally, in some respects, at different times, I agreed with how he was watching the money. I think his concern about the trolley and what happens when they go and who's going to fix the street, you know, he was right on board with making some of those changes to those agreements. So that kind of skill set is appropriate. Mr. Crow does a great job with communicating with our, the residents, being there for us and explaining our needs and meeting our questions when we call them and have questions. So those are the kind of things I would hope to, you know, maybe combine and emulate. Hopefully be patient when others may not have been patient in the past. Hopefully to be responsive and to build trust with people that may see me as not their favorite guy, but that's okay.
Anyone else? Hearing none, thank you very much, Mr. McMahon.
Thank you.